We have a little bit too much fun right here, but you know what? There were tens of thousands of people in stadiums yesterday screaming like crazy for their team, you know? And maybe a little taste of that for the followers of Jesus Christ to be a little bit exuberant and not just stoic and miserable and feeling like our God is so great and that's all we got, you know what I mean? We gotta bring a little life, a little juice. Now, I'm not saying the crowd surfing idea would work out super well all the time, but might be worth a shot, just saying, you know what I mean? We're going to be all over the place this morning, and I apologize. We got some important stuff I want to talk about with you that kind of shifted, and then it all kind of came together in a weird Holy Spirit way. This is one of those mornings where I want to say to you that probably people will be like, where'd you guys come up with all these crazy things? And I want to say, like, I think the Holy Spirit led all this, but I also don't think the Holy Spirit wants the credit for what we're doing this morning. So I'm just not trying to, like, dump that all on God's leading us. Thank you, Jonathan. That was an awkward moment for all of us there. Not really, just for Dustin and I, because Dustin's like, I ain't getting it, dude. You're on your own. Yeah, man. Yeah, I appreciate it. So Super Bowl commercial time is coming, and I know you think we're just crazy around here, and you're right. But also, it's kind of fun to remember that our God creates, well, creativity and joy and laughter and life and hope. And so you may get roped into an amazing moment where you will be known all over the world, right? Now, you may not get a cool nickname like some people got, like Derek Blake when he became a grandpa today. And I just want to make sure this is clear because I know it's been confusing. You've heard different terms thrown around. Derek is officially now Crampaw.
No, I am not.
Crampaw. So you guys got to help me with this. Crampaw. Okay. Okay. All right. That's love, brother. That's all that is love. Well, this morning ended up being a little bit more football-oriented than I had planned on. I'd forgot about the whole fantasy football league stuff and forgot about how late I was going to have to stay up last night and watch football. You might even be like me and forgot we had a team in Indianapolis too. I think they played today or something. I'm not sure. It's been a season to forget, right? But this has been a pretty intense week if you're a football fan. And if you're not a football fan, you probably also caught just a little bit of what went on Monday night with a guy by the name of DeMar Hamlin. People tuned in, I mean, millions of people tuned in, almost 25 million live viewers tuned in, 60,000 people there watching this football game that held all kinds of significance in the seating. And if you're a girl and I said the word football and seating, you're like, I want to get out of my seat and leave, and I get that. Maybe you're a guy and you're thinking the same thing yourself, I get it. I'm not trying to be too football heavy or annoy you with weeds of football this morning, but something really significant happened on that Monday night. During the first, 6 minutes of the game, seemed pretty normal. And then this guy, DeMar Hamlin, made a tackle. It was pretty routine, fairly normal. It's a collision, violent sport. Stood up and fell down with a cardiac arrest, heart attack. And whether you want to say he died on the field and was resuscitated over these next 9 minutes, it's possible you could say it that way. Probably wasn't brain dead at the time, evidently, but the teams huddled around and the ambulance was on the field. And if you were watching the game, which I happened to be, it was really awkward because nobody knew what to do or say. And so they would say, well, we're going to go to a commercial break. And then they'd bring you back and they'd just watch and stare in disbelief and then go to a commercial break. And like over and over in those 9 minutes, we all wanted to see what's going on. We don't want to watch Tylenol ads, right? But at the end of the day, nobody knew what to do. And they were all just in total utter shock and disbelief. Literally 24.5 million live viewers in this moment, watching this man have a heart attack and really die on the field playing a football game. And man, it rocked people. You saw huge, monstrous superhero athletes weeping and on their knees and hugging and holding each other as they watched him be resuscitated and trying to get him to the ambulance and then to the ICU unit and just the fear and the anxiety, right? And as the ambulance drove away, I mean, people were praying the whole time, but the entire Buffalo Bills team and the Bengals team on their sideline and people, who I know some people who were at the game who talked about how somber and just solemn the moment was. 60,000 people really just holding their breath quietly, many praying together, hugging each other as they watched this unfold on the scene or on the field here, and many watching at home just in shock and disbelief. The word jarring got used over and over. People followed to the hospital where they had prayer vigils outside the hospital for Damar and praying and interceding that God would be merciful to this young athlete and walking through this hard thing and just nowhere else to go, no way to process how intense their feelings and emotions were. And man, it started to spread nationally, this pray for Damar, pray for Damar. It was on billboards and on stadiums all over the country, different sports, different cities saying, pray for Damar, pray for Damar. It picked up in businesses all over the country and billboards like crazy began to pop up, pray for this athlete, this guy who had this heart attack and was still hanging very much in limbo as he sat in a medically induced coma after getting his pulse back up and going and in the ICU unit for days on a respirator, not sure what was going on. We'd probably, if you didn't watch the game and you weren't tracking news, you probably caught it somewhere on social media. Social media blew up like crazy with this major issue. And I had people that I didn't know liked football or knew what a football was who were posting and reposting all this stuff about pray for Damar, pray for Damar, pray for Damar. We got to pray for this young man. And folks in the family came out and did stuff. The president of the United States contacted the family. Just a worldwide, just national kind of attention on this young man and this issue. People exploited it for sure, right? You could buy a coffee cup that said, pray for Hamlin, pray for Damar. Got a little bit crazy. But really what happened was this national call to prayer, right? Over this athlete and this moment that we all witnessed nationally. It was pretty intense, pretty intense. Mark caught me a minute ago. I loved it, Mark, and that's why I didn't say much when you caught me. Mark's like, hey, and I love it, right, connecting the dots. We're doing a lot of weird football stuff today, it seems like. You know what would be good? We should probably talk about Monday Night Football's incident, right? Yeah, that's what I thought. I had something totally different I was going to talk about today and totally different I was going to preach about, and I was kind of excited about where I was going to go. And then I felt like God just kind of U-turned me the other day and just said, let's talk about this national moment. Because you don't get these moments very often to just stop where collectively people have some sense of focus on a situation or a circumstance. And I think it's worth maybe looking at as the church a little bit. I have some, just a few takeaways. And if you're a football fan, you recognize that that's a term for a turnover, right? The defense takes away the ball, interception, fumble recovery. If you're a Colts fan, you haven't seen that word this year, dead last in takeaways. This might be a dead last sermon in takeaways too, but I'm going to do better than the Colts maybe. I don't know. I have a couple. We'll see how it works out. But there are a few things that I have been taking away from this experience, chewing on, thinking on, and things I think maybe as a church might be good, the Church of Jesus Christ, to just take a moment and reflect on as we look at this national consciousness and this big moment of prayer and the call to prayer. Now, let me start with this. One of my takeaways from this experience in lots of different conversations with lots of different people is that perhaps as a nation, we're slightly out of balance, right? As a society, maybe we're a little out of balance. There was a 24-year-old man who had a heart attack, and literally tens, if not hundreds of millions of people interrupted all their routine, all of their day, all of their attention, all their focus, latched onto this one young man. Athlete, probably getting to the stage where he's pushing millionaire status, playing a game, has a collision and dies, and the whole country is jarred by this moment. I think it's fair to say, where was the concern for the two police officers who were killed last night? Where was the concern for the coworker who had a heart attack? Where was the concern for the kid who died of starvation or abuse? Where's that concern? Where's the outrage? Where's the nation saying, whoa, we got to do something about this. Let's pray for this guy or this family or this situation. And I think that's fair. I think that's fair to say, are we maybe a little out of balance and our attention so focused on this one guy when maybe we're just missing the amount of suffering and struggle and pain and death and heartache and abuse in our world around us, and we turn a blind eye to that. But the fact that this happened in our football world, it's got our attention. Where's the attention for all the other pieces? And if maybe that's a little bit of a rebuke to the Church of Jesus Christ and to the country and the culture and society, I think that's a fair thing to maybe ponder in the moment. Not that Damar Hamlin's life doesn't matter, but so do the millions of unborn babies. Their lives matter, right? And the older folks who get left off and just not taken care of and mistreated to the point where their lives no longer matter and they're left to suffer. Or the kids who are starving, or the kids who are homeless, or the adults who are homeless and struggling and striving. Where's the compassion? Where's the heart? Where's the impetus to act and to engage and to pray on behalf of those people? Probably not a bad idea for us to say, whoa, God, thanks for that moment. I need to probably get my eyes fixed a little bit because maybe I'm just locked over here and I should be seeing the bigger picture of what's going on for the people around me. That's fair. But I don't want to just beat up a sinful society too much for being sinful, because that's what we do in this sinful society, right? Sinful people sin, and a culture that's not following Jesus doesn't follow Jesus, and that really doesn't shock me. But I do like this for the church, and I do like this for our culture, that there was a measure of perspective from Monday night that came. See, something happened in our safe space of entertainment. Reality invaded it, right? And not just for those of us who live with an awareness of that reality, but for those of us who kind of imagine that death and suffering and all those things can sort of just be compartmentalized somewhere else and they won't affect, you know, this area of life. We feel like sports maybe or entertainment is this escape from reality, this safe space. But the truth is mortality infects even there and affects even there. Scripture says to us in Hebrews, man is appointed to die once and after that to face judgment. Monday night was a little bit of a reality check that even our superheroes, which ironically, Hawkeye, right? He's in the hospital recovering from a snowmobile issue, right? How funny is it that I couldn't even remember his name? Jeremy Renner, thank you. AKA Hawkeye in Marvel, right? I went with the superhero name. Superhero actor gets crushed and driven over by his own snowplow in the hospital, right? And we're like, oh, how could this happen? He's a Marvel superhero, right? Actually, he's a person, right? It's appointed unto everyone that we're going to die. This is a temporary existence. And we live in a fantasy world. And what we do with our professional athletes is we cheer them on until they're no good to us, and then we shove them aside, and we cheer on the next batch of young guys who can stand in there and take a hit, right? That's what we kind of do. And I understand the dynamic of that and the desire to escape reality, but how beautiful a picture when God reminds a whole world that, hey, you're not getting out of this thing. You can't hide. There's nowhere to run. There's no safe space from the consequence of eternal death because of sin and rebellion. But there is a way to eternal life through Jesus Christ, right? That's an important wake-up call, I think, for a culture and maybe even for the church, and an important takeaway. One of my favorite takeaways from this experience is this, and it just cracks me up. People still turn to God. People still turn to God. When there is crisis, when they're scared, when there's desperation, people still turn to God. The fabric of our society is one in which, whether you're an atheist and whether you fight against God and get God out of the schools and out of the classroom setting and business and government, and you can't stand God, you hate God, all of a sudden, when it gets bad enough and you're at the end of your rope, thousands of people get on their knees, millions of people get on their knees and cry out to God for help. Says something about the fabric of our culture. I think there's a ray of hope in that fabric of our culture, that we have enough of a Judeo-Christian background or ethic within us that we'll cry out to God when it gets bad enough, and God can use that. At the same time, I think it's a human fabric DNA issue. We'll go back to the book of Judges for a second. If you ever read the book of Judges, it's fantastic. If you missed the first story, you can catch everything in the second, and then the third, and then the fourth, and the fifth, because it just keeps repeating the same situation. The people sin and rebel against God, and God allows there to be suffering and hardship and difficulty, and it gets bad enough that the children of Israel cry out to the Lord, and he moves. But of course, they don't learn their lesson, right? And over, the sons of Israel cry out to the Lord. And the Israelites cried out to the Lord, and the Israelites cried out to the Lord. And over and over and over, they cry out to the Lord, and they cry out to the Lord. And they come to the end of themselves, and they get on their face before God, and they say, God, please. And they cry out to God. And you know what's amazing? God heard them. And God still hears today. And there's no reason. There's no reason for God to listen to us. There's no reason for God to respond to our prayers. And yet he hears us and he loves us and he responds. We forget that he is our heavenly Father. And there's something that happens in our heavenly Father that happens in an earthly father or a grandpa. When your child, potentially grandchild, is in peril, you respond. You respond. When your kid's suffering and hurting, now sometimes you gotta let your kid suffer and struggle and walk through the pain to grow. And that's one of the hardest things I see in parenting with parents and grandparents is that tough love element where kids will continually fight and you gotta let them walk a road that leads them back to where they need to be instead of enabling or trying to protect and bubble wrap and fix it. Sometimes you got to walk out some hard stuff. But make no mistake, the heart of the Father comes from the Father himself. And that heart is one that loves his children and wants to rescue and to save and to help. And man, as we pray and as we go before God and ask, he hears us. He listens to our prayers. And he answers. Sometimes the answer we don't like. But he answers because he loves us. Because he loves us. People still turn to God. They still reach out to God. Even when they don't know who he is and don't have a relationship with him, they reach. But man, God's constantly reaching towards us. And that connection can be made and there can be hope and there can be life. And it's been fun to watch and hear the stories with this particular young man to see all the different ways that maybe his life has had an impact before, right? Some of the ways that maybe he stood for God or said some things for God. People are trying to pull quotes here and there. But what a moment when he comes through this to see how God used him to bring an entire nation to a place of crying out to God. And what a beautiful picture that is, you know? What a beautiful picture that is for a people who turn to God to see God act and see God move. And I've been praying that God will restore this dude to health, not for him, but for a nation who maybe comes to a place to say, huh, I never really prayed before, but man, I saw that dude fall and I'm a Bills fan, part of the Bills Mafia, and whew, I wanted that guy on my team really bad, and that was scary. Scariest thing I ever saw in my whole life, that kid fall down. I prayed, God fixed him. Maybe there's something to this God thing, right? Man, Holy Spirit's at work, drawing, pulling, using every little bit of leverage he can to try to shine the light of hope into a dark world around us, right? People still turn to God. And it's frustrating to watch, to be honest. Let me warn you, church, about this. Sometimes we can be like, well, where were you when things were good, huh? Now you're gonna come to God. Well, I hope you get what you deserve, right? We got to watch that bitterness, right? What place do we have to be bitter? No place. We've been given life. Shut up and color, right? Let's go. Let's love. That's it, right? Let's just be people who love when the opportunity is present. Because we could be bitter and we could be like, I hope he doesn't listen to you so you learn your lesson. No, no, no. I hope something gets through to people who are on their way to eternal death and they find life. That should be our goal and our agenda. And we're so divided and we're so feisty with each other and we're so bittered and embittered. And it's just nonsense. We just got to love people. And we got to seize the moment when it comes to shine the light and to show the love of Christ. And this is a moment. I'm not going to lie, man. This is a moment where the people of God should be saying, yeah, cry out to the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endures forever and he loves you and there is hope in him. And this world leads to death and destruction and there's suffering and sometimes none of it makes sense, but you can cry out to God and he hears you. We should be screaming that message when a world around us is listening. We ought to be leading the charge. Many of you probably saw this clip I'm going to show you from Tuesday morning, NFL Live, not some secondary show, not some internet podcast. This was on ESPN, NFL Live, and ESPN is a very conservative sports news outlet. I'm just kidding. They've been pretty liberal for last several years, and it's made a lot of news in and of itself. But take a look at this. That's a Bible verse right there. You should watch this before we take a look, because we should make the most of every opportunity. Where's Ty at? Ty? I don't know why. I didn't even use this thing since you told me not to use it, man. I don't know. No, I was kidding. Scripture says in Ephesians 5:16 to make the most of every opportunity. Take a look at what Dan Orlovsky did Tuesday morning.
Football gave me everything. You know, and I think even through the midst of absolute tragedy last night, I think you saw some of the beauty of football as well, that it's brought us all here together. This is a little bit different. I've heard it all day, like thoughts and prayers. And you just heard Scherf and Jonathan Allen say, like, all we can do is pray for him. And I've heard the Buffalo Bills organization say, like, we believe in prayer. And maybe this is not the right thing to do, but it's just on my heart that I want to pray for
it is.
DeMar Hamlin right now. I'm going to do it out loud. I'm going to close my eyes. I'm going to bow my head, and I'm just going to pray for him. God, we come to you in these moments that we don't understand, that are hard, because we believe that you're God, and coming to you and praying to you has impact. We're sad, we're angry, and we want answers, but some things are unanswerable. We just want to pray, truly come to you and pray for strength for DeMar, for healing for DeMar, for comfort for DeMar, to be with his family, to give them peace. If we didn't believe that prayer didn't work, we wouldn't ask this of you, God. I believe in prayer. We believe in prayer. We lift up DeMar Hamlin's name in your name. Amen.
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 It's beautiful.
It's pretty cool, yeah? That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. You may know Dan Orlovsky. He helped champion the 0-16 Colts, or 1-16 Colts, so I've never liked Dan Orlovsky. But I like him now, a lot, a lot. You know, that took boldness and that took courage for that man on national television not to say, thoughts and prayers, thoughts and prayers, thoughts and prayers, thoughts with you, thoughts, thoughts. I don't even know what thoughts do, right? My thoughts are for you, my thoughts are with you. That does nothing. Prayer does something. And everybody kept saying, pray, pray, I'm going to pray for you, I'll pray for you. Let me pray for you, we should pray for you, I'll pray for you. And know what they did? Maybe they prayed, or maybe they said with lip service to the idea of prayer because it sounded good or looked good, or they were desperately saying prayer. That dude did prayer. And he took his job in his hands. He took his livelihood, his reputation, everything in his hands on national television before millions and millions of people to just stop what he was doing, risk everything and pray. You know what's been really cool about that is to listen to some of the atheist responses to that. It's been really cool on social media to hear some of it. Don't believe in God. Don't believe in Jesus. Don't believe in what Dan Orlovsky believes in. But wow, what a courageous man. Props to that guy for being bold enough in his faith to stand and do what he thought was right. He won the respect of people who don't believe in God because of his courage and his boldness. We've got to be people who seize the moment and lead the way. And the church is full of this. I'll pray for you. Yeah, let's pray. I'll be praying for you, man. Pray for you, brother. Why don't we just stop and pray? You know what I mean? Just stop and pray. Don't say you're going to pray. Pray. Do it. Stop what you're doing and just say, hey, man, I heard what you're just saying. That's a hard thing, man. Let me just pray for you real quick if that's cool. We don't do it because we don't think it matters. Or we think it matters and we're too embarrassed. Maybe if we're honest with ourselves, maybe we really don't think prayer does anything. And we don't want to look like we're being too spiritual. But what if prayer really works? What if prayer really works? What if it's really effective? What if it really, as Scripture says, availeth much? What if we really believed stopping and praying for our friend for a minute mattered? What if we believed praying for Russell's friend actually was effective and not just choreographed spiritual service vibe, right? Or if we believed praying in a small group wasn't just somebody's got to fill the space so we have a prayer circle, but we believed it did something. God has been listening to tens, if not hundreds of millions of people who don't ever talk to him, many who do, asking him to help this DeMar dude. And he's made amazing recovery. Neurologically intact, all kinds of crazy stuff. We'll see where it ends. Still critical in some health issues, but we'll see where it goes. But God's been listening over and over. And he tells the story of a judge who listens to somebody who keeps coming before him and literally annoying the judge to the point of action. Jesus tells that story about how we ought to pray. We ought to badger and pound on the doors of heaven on behalf of the things that are on our hearts that we need God to move on until God moves, or till God loudly stops us from praying because he answers loudly. But man, we are full of churches of people who are hoping in God, but they're not praying. They're just hoping God does something. This is a moment for the Church of Jesus Christ to lead with the power of prayer and to lead a nation who's open to the conversation. This week, you're going to have places in your work, in your school, where little reports are going to trickle out about how Hamlin's doing and what's going on. And the Church of Jesus Christ ought to take a moment and say, that's the power of prayer, man. That is the power of prayer. Dude died on the field. They resuscitated him. He should be brain dead after 9 minutes of all this mess. And yet, look where he's at. That's the power of our God. That's not good luck. That's not great science or amazing doctor work in Cincinnati. That's the power of God because of prayer. And the Church of Jesus Christ needs to seize the moment to boldly, right? To boldly take the opportunity in the evil days we live to proclaim the truth of what is going on in this young man's life. And yes, we need to be mindful of all the other suffering. And yes, we ought to be praying about so many more things than one professional football player who had a heart attack. But don't be embittered and don't let some negativity seep in. Instead, be people who see the hope that a nation got on its knees for a football player, and they cried out to the one true God who moves and who hears, and we have an opportunity to point them to him. Father, thank you so much for your incredible love for us and the privilege that we have to come before you. You said we could come before your throne and boldly ask whatever we would. And Lord, many here have been praying for this young man and for so many other things. We brought needs before you. But Lord, I pray that this week, Lord, we would be re-energized in our spirit to be on mission in prayer. Lord, that we would be energized to lead the way and to seize these moments that we have to proclaim your truth and to lead people in praying. Thank you for this Dan Orlovsky guy and his faithfulness to just awkwardly before millions of people bow his head and stumble through a prayer to try to just lead in prayer instead of just talk about praying. Father, I pray you'd honor him for that. I pray it would embolden your people to be courageous at work and at school and in the stores and the parking lots and wherever they see need. Help us not to just give lip service, but to be people of prayer who pray in power and see your hand move. Lord, we join millions of people in asking, Lord, that you would heal and restore this young man. I pray you do it for your glory and for your name, that the world would see who you are. And Lord, help them to see that in our life too, in all the moments and all the situations where you're at work. We love you and we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.